waiting for a telephone call from Sam Russell for a radio interview. Sam Russell is on KTKK in Salt Lake City.
State Fair is the leader of the defense team for Randy Weaver. He being the object of the siege at Naples, Idaho, a couple of weeks ago, brought to a conclusion by Beau Greitz. Jerry Spence will reveal what's going on in the aftermath of that event. Call in your questions for Jerry Spence ahead of his appearance at 8:05 on the business line, 264-8250. That's Monday morning on the Joe Redburn Show.
The Voice of Utah, AM 630, KTKK.
Of unseen realms, both within and beyond this dimension, which may prompt a reevaluation of many of our fundamental beliefs and institutions. And good evening. I'm Sam Russell. Thank you for being there. My very special guest this evening is Commander Hatton. And before I introduce Commander Hatton, I would like to get a little bit of this business out of the way, so we will return right after this.
10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago.
Ah, yes, there you are.
Present.
Okay, I am, you sound a little bit dim. Could you speak into the phone, please?
Well, yes, I'll try. Let us see if we can arrange it.
All right, you sound a little bit lower than before.
Well, we're having all sorts of trouble with recording equipment here, too.
Ah, okay.
This is better.
That's better. Excellent. I was hoping to forestall the loss of you as I introduced you, and it sounds like we're okay. So I will put you on hold and be right with you.
Very good.
You also go to the Consignment Gallery, 5445 Highland Drive, or phone the Consignment Gallery at 272-0284. That's 272-0284.
And we return now, and greetings and good evening to you, Commander Hatton.
Good evening, present in the light of the Radiant One, our source.
And thank you very much, and I would like to begin with the regular beginning that I like for these particular kinds of sessions. You, in fact, speak for the holy white light of the one source creator for the highest and best good of all mankind, sir.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
Thank you. And, Commander, I was admonished by one of the listeners of these programs via tape that we should always begin a tape by explaining very carefully the method of transmission so that people are not confused. And would you please do that now so that people will understand exactly what is happening in the transmission process?
Yes, I'd be very happy to. I have a translator, just as I would have to have a translator if I were Russian and you speak only English. I transmit, or any of my people transmit, on a pulse system, a pulse wave. Wireless, of course, and we transmit at a very, very high frequency. And I simply have a translator. I realize that ones in your metaphysical community and your New Age groups really prefer to call that channeling. It is not the same thing.
It is not the same.
I have a translator, and she has a receiver.
And anyone else who had a receiver that would tune to this high, I guess it's in the UHF frequency band, they could hear the actual transmission.
Oh, yes. Anybody with a high transmission band up in the weather satellite frequency would be able to receive the tones. But actually, over at Edwards Air Force Base in a few of your intelligence circles can also translate it.
I see. So they are capable of picking it up, obviously, but they also have the means of actually translating this into English, then.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're monitoring each other all the time.
I see. Okay. Well, all right. There have been many, many events
transpiring since the last time we spoke. That's been 6 weeks or more now, I believe. And I hardly know where to begin. I suppose one of the most important would be the events up in Idaho, the events regarding Randy Weaver and Bogreitz and that whole scene. Can you fill us in now? We of course know that Bogreitz is instrumental in getting Randy Weaver out of there, of course, after not until death had occurred. But what's going on now? Can you fill us in?
Well, as we were waiting for you to come back with your interview, I note that you are having, or someone on your channel or stations having, Jerry Spence.
Yes, that's on Monday morning.
I would wish that every listener tuned in now would either have that recorded or listen, or both, because you'll want to refer to it. As a matter of fact, the citizen's arrest paperwork that was presented against the federal troops and the governor of Idaho was compiled by Jerry Spence. I am working diligently to connect our law center, and I say our, it's the Constitutional Law Center, but they are very gracious to ask my input, and I find myself quite possessive of it. Because our purpose is, of course, in your nation, to try and recoup and reclaim your Constitution, because it was the very best document that could be compiled at the time. And you have lost it. So it's time to reclaim it. But under the constitutional laws, Jerry Spence was able to compile citizens' arrest papers with the backup material necessary. And I believe that you're going to be able to have that available. I am requesting ones at the Constitutional Law Center to get those packages so that anyone writing in for them can receive them. I'm going to even ask that ones at the Liberator offices try and make those available to anyone who wants them. It's a step in the right direction. It calls a halt to anything unconstitutional going on at the moment.
I see, and so the citizen's arrest, then, this will progress, then. Is that correct?
Yes, it will. It's a step in the right direction. Now, you've got to catch them breaking the law. Now, that's the other part of it. And they most certainly were breaking all constitutional law. They were in Idaho, on his property, in camouflage gear, and I call that in costume. And they had no right to be there. They bore no warrant for his arrest. This goes all the way back, and I am in the Liberator now. I won't give national security information which will get these young men in worse trouble than they're in. But, of course, these ones, Bogreitz and Randy Weaver, know full well enough to pull down the government as it is structured now.
Yeah.
They, either one or both, have that kind of information. And, of course, the hope was, after the FBI contacted Greitz, was that both would be taken into custody and there would be no more heard from Bo Greitz before this election. That was part of the setup. So you can see that you squeaked by.
We certainly did. Evidently, some announcers, at least one announcer from the cable news network, did not squeak by. There was some indication that an announcer had wanted to substitute his own sensings of what was going on up there rather than what was shown to him on cue cards. Is that actually correct? Now, this was sort of a second-hand, third-hand indication that we had received here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, nothing was to go out on the air except what was presented and given permission. And even after the, quote, surrender, there was a full blackout of the name Bogreitz.
Yeah, so that never did get on the air then, evidently, the name Bogreitz.
For many, many days, nothing. I mean, it came right down from the top.
I
get away with quite a lot, but I will say right here that let's get, you know, space cadets out of the way. Ones don't want to believe that we're out here. Well, I have to assure you that we are. I have to further assure you that we are in full contact constantly with your government officials. And I worked in coalition with them to shut this down.
I see. Which government officials were instrumental in shutting this whole thing down?
James Baker was primary.
Is that so? So you are basically in direct contact with either he or his emissaries?
He and his emissaries made a trip to California, as a matter of fact, and immediately sent Paul Harvey. And your false press will do something like this, you know, even in the spotlight where you once feel you are getting uncluttered information, made a statement to the effect that Paul Harvey in the helicopter, knowing neither Randy nor Bo, and thus and so and thus and so, that is a blatant, absolute fabrication.
That is correct, because
Paul Harvey went to
the Middle East into that whole Golden Triangle sector by Bo Brides.
Yes, sir, with Bo Brides, and refused to film what was before him. So in response, they sent Paul Harvey, knowing full well that Bo Brides and Randy Weaver would recognize him.
And that was the reason why Paul Harvey was chosen, because I thought that was a rather curious choice of individuals
yes.
to show up on the scene.
Yes, and Bo knew immediately what to do.
Yeah.
It was a stage set up federal offense that was perpetrated there. And every one of you are subject to that same kind of treatment.
Yeah.
This gun was cut off, not even cut off by Randy Weaver. He purchased four friends on two different occasions, ones who gained his trust, and they didn't want their name on registration papers. So he bought for each of them in two separate places at two separate times two shotguns. They are the ones who cut them off. And one was 1/4 of an inch too short.
Yeah, so.
And you kill a child, a woman, it's incredible.
Yes. That whole scene was just a tragedy from one to the
other. Understand that there were over 500 federal troops.
That's never really been mentioned in the national news. I heard one newscast actually mention that 200 troops were there, but that's the highest figure I ever did hear.
Well, there were at least that many federal troops. Then, of course, the National Guard was called in, and they were required to leave their guns. They had to park their guns because there was such a fear of mutiny.
The involvement of Jerry Spence in this case now is certainly a positive turn of events, and is it seen as a situation where the forces of the light are going to prevail?
Well, we certainly do hope so. We're doing everything we can to make sure that that happens.
All right. My guest is Commander Hatton, and we are going to take a break. I would like to move along now into the natural disaster area, the phenomena that we've been experiencing here in Utah and has been experienced in California and so on. We do have to pause for some commercial announcements, and we'll be right back. My special guest, Commander Hatton. Commander, you're speaking to us from the spaceship Phoenix.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And what is your location as you're speaking to us tonight?
Well, just as before, I'm very, very high above what you would call the China Lake, North Edwards, San Bernardino area. That's where the most action's going on.
So the fireworks continues then?
Oh, absolutely. They have now cut out a swath that will take a chunk out of those three bases when the San Andreas goes.
Is there any... I heard it said that the San Andreas is being held together by your forces. Is that correct at this time?
No, not exactly. No, that's not quite right. What they have been doing, and you see, stabilization is coming from the ring of fire. Various and sundry places, and it's not working very well. Holding it is not being able to work very well. And then you have things like the great tidal wave that are occurring constantly around this ring of fire.
Yeah.
What is happening to the San Andreas Fault is that they have now, they being, well, let's just call them your adversary. We'll get into who these ones are after a little bit. And by that, I will play a little game of 20 questions, because these are very, very, very serious things to discuss. Can get a lot of people killed. And that's not the purpose of our work here. But what they have done is, approximately 20,000 years ago, there was a rift along the California coastal area parallel to what is recognized as the San Andreas Fault. That one, after its final shifting, went completely dormant. But you see, from cosmosphere level, from outer space, I'm not talking about where you run your shuttles and things. I'm talking about cosmosphere levels from the moon, etc. That distance, with the technology and the laser beam systems for spying, you can see that old rift. And what has happened here is, through photon beam systems, you have cut that old rift open, which has created a parallel line along the San Andreas Fault line. Then moving inland, running from San Bernardino with the San Jacinto Fault, moving then northward to the Garlock Fault outside Mojave, this takes in the China Lake Naval Station facilities, which is the deepest. It's an 80-level underground facility. Edwards, Norton, all the way to the Long Beach area. All that just takes a whack out. So that when the final shift comes, the hope is that, like scoring glass, you know, you score it very deeply, and then when you tap it, it will break along the lines that you have scored. And that is the hope. In the same process, they have opened a fissure all the way into Utah. And it is planned to go right on into Salt Lake.
Is that right? Now, I was going to ask you, the earthquake that we experienced in southern Utah about a week ago now, that was, as you indicate, part of this this plan then.
Yes, they have not stopped since the first series of jolts and quakes to the Landers area. And those ones were felt as far as Phoenix and Salt Lake City. I believe we were on the air that day. With you. And someone called about the local earthquake, because you had said, no, we didn't have one. And I said, yes, you did.
Yeah, I'm right.
Well, it's interesting to note that this has not ceased. And they have been very, very careful not to, at this time, intersect that San Andreas Fault.
Yeah.
Because it will go. And they want to do it more timely. When you try to figure out who is doing this, you have to look at what is going on in your world. You see, Baker was claimed to have been pulled back from the Secretary of State position to head a campaign for George Bush.
That was certainly the news, anyway.
Well, where is he?
I'm not sure.
Do you ever hear him doing anything?
Beg pardon?
Do you ever hear about him doing anything?
No, at this point, you're actually right.
Well, it's interesting, because this was all taking place when the Idaho incident broke, and when I said, you will stop this right now. You are not going to have those federal troops in there. I, Hatton, said to them, you will stop this now. And they went to work. And your big cheese was, first of all, going to come to the trough, Mr. Bush himself. But Mr. Bush himself has to be at Camp David every weekend for his repair and updating. And he's right there, right now, if you check.
Repair and refurbishing. Well, that's indeed, because the NBC News, just before this program began.
Well, he cannot make it. There are absolutely, even the psychiatrists are holding their breath, that he doesn't blow it again in public. You know, when he told the mother and the wives of the POWs to sit down and shut up, he about got it right there. But that's not the purpose of the Baker transfer. They pulled Baker out so that Eagleburger could be put into that slot. Now, Eagleburger is a prime henchman of Henry Kissinger. Scowcroft moved up in position, and he should mean a lot to you ones in Utah.
Yes, indeed.
And they pulled in as Assistant Secretary of State William Clark. William Clark, it was a justice. We call him Judge Clark. He heads the San Luis Obispo connection. He runs the western branch of the Elite 300. Now, Mr. Clark is this moment, unless he came back in the last 10 minutes, in China. You had no business relationship with China since Tiananmen Square. And today, your president released that. And 16 of your major technical satellites are going to China. They're on their way or already there.
Is that so?
And part of them, of course, are already launched. Now, how could that be? How could that be? You also, Mr. Bush, signed an order to sell F-16s to Taiwan. And that was because Taiwan and North Korea have formed an alliance and business trade. That made China very, very angry. So now you have blackmail from China. All right, you go in there, and now you're going to give them your satellites. Now, you have to know that William Clark was the planner, the perpetrator of the KAL-007 Downing. Remember that little incident?
Yes.
Guess what? Mr. Yeltsin announced today that he has the transcripts of what was in the little black box on KAL-007.
Is that so?
Now, isn't that an interesting coincidence for you to ponder? That's blackmail again.
Yeah.
Mr. Clark, you do this, this, and this with China, and we are going to plaster it all over the world.
I wanted to interject here that the KAL-007 flight is a subject that is brought up occasionally by one of the talk show hosts here on K-Talk, who has investigated this independently, and he has come up with a conclusion that that airliner was damaged but was not shot down, that it landed safely, and that for whatever reason, the occupants of that airliner have been kept as hostage or as prisoners.
I verify that. Yes, sir. And isn't that going to be awkward when Mr. Yeltsin points that out? Because your government knows this. The same as, I believe it was on your 2020 or some program last evening or the evening before. I don't really keep up with it too much. But there was talk of possible POWs still in Russia.
Yes.
Indeed, indeed. There were like 25,000 of them. Yes. Now, you're going to find, however, son, that you have over 50,000 of your troops from the Saudi Arabian encounter that they said are getting sick from sand fleas. Well, they're not sure what it is. Well, that was from anthrax inoculations, and you are going to have, by the time they are through, 50,000 of your troops dead.
Is that right from that?
Yes, from your own inoculations.
Incredible.
So there's so much out there that they must cover. And you see, when Bo Greitz was pulled in on a felony charge of passport tampering, which is absolutely the most amusing thing that special forces can encounter.
Yeah.
After the case was dismissed, the federal lawyer stood on the courthouse steps being interviewed in Nevada. And they said, well, why was this? And this fellow said, Mr. Bush called me and said, get Greitz. And they asked him to repeat it, so it was repeated for all the world to hear. But you see, everybody's forgotten. And while he was trying to defend himself, there were orders that if he broaches the subject that we give to you as being under guard of national security, he is to be shot on sight in the courtroom. Now, this is serious. You ones, you must look at Idaho. And you must see what's going to happen to all of you. This is force. This is what you're against now. And they can come into any place. And they don't have to have a search warrant. They just come in with their guns and take over.
Are we not beginning to see a manifestation of that? Not even beginning, but is this not happening now in Florida in the aftermath of the hurricane, where we understand that they're ordering people out of their homes or what's left of the homes into the tent cities?
It's exactly the same thing.
There were reports also. There was a curious little report that I heard on one of the newscasts to the effect that there were a lot of foreign troops stationed in that situation in Florida. Is that something you can validate or verify?
I can validate it and verify it.
So a lot of...
And you'll notice in something else that if it hasn't come to your attention, will in the next few days, and that is that they are now whining and crying over... they're going to lose the war on drugs now because they won't have Homestead, which every one of you should be rolling in the aisles. Homestead was the very military base where the ones from Central and South America flew in all the drugs for your government. So no wonder they needed to rebuild it. The Bush family fully intends to handle all of the real estate in Cuba, and you will notice that your President Bush said he would be the first president to go over to free Cuba. Well, the reason that you got into the mess in the first place was the sugar and Pepsi-Cola company. Well, you better believe that the Bush twigs are into everything.
The Bush twigs, are they into the Pepsi-Cola company as well then? Is that part of it?
Well, I mean, it's all part of it.
Huh.
It goes so far back to Zapata oil, and we don't even have time on this program, and you've got other ones that can do a better job. And it's more believable, more feasible, I suppose, to hear it from a human mouth.
Yeah.
No insult to my speaker, but...
Well, those are rather... it's always good to have the validations from a source such as yours for the kinds of things that we've been hearing. And so that is just one of the useful aspects of being able to speak with you on occasion.
Well, let me commend you. If it were not for you, ones like you, and let us say Chuck Hardy in Florida, if it were not for free radio talk shows, there would be absolutely zero information getting out to the people. They haven't been able to shut you down yet. And yes, the Liberator can go out, and it's a paper for the people. And the Spotlight was very good, but it comes right out of Washington, D.C. And they've been in business a long time, and you have to read it with great discernment, or you're going to run head-on into blatant lies, just like the Paul Harvey incident. And the first time they ran it, they mentioned not one word about voting rights. Not one in their first article right after the incident. They told all about it and never once mentioned his name. So this is what you ones must confront, because as long as you are blind to these things, you cannot know what it is you need to reclaim. You are just being eaten alive.
Commander, we have some calls, and perhaps we should take a few calls right now. Let us go first to John. John, you're on K-Talk and Open Mind with Commander Hatton.
Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Hi, Commander Hatton.
Good evening.
I had a question for you in regards to Area 51.
I hope I can answer it.
I heard some time ago that your race had sent envoys there to make peace with them. And I heard that they murdered your envoys and stole the ships they were in. Is there any truth to that?
Well,